Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of the Building a Digital Future podcast. In the last episode, we talked a little bit about what the different pillars of BIM is and a little bit of a history, how we ended up where we are today with our kind of collecting understanding of BIM in our industry and the problems that have brought with it. In this episode, we are going to talk about how we can reset that. How do we do things different from now on? How do we ensure that we are getting the benefits of, you know, digital construction, BIM, ISO 9650, whatever label we want to put on it, the outcome should still be the same. And how we need to approach that is the topic for today. So to kick this off, why should we bother with this BIM journey, digital construction, ISO 9650? Why is this important? And I'm going to say controversially here right now is that let's say it's not important. Let's say we are not bothering with that. It doesn't matter. Let's stop talking about BIM. Let's stop using the words. Let's stop emphasizing on ISO 19650 and all of that stuff. Let's not buy any more BIM stuff. Okay? Instead, what do we need to focus on? We need to focus on being the role and having the responsibilities that we were trained to do. If you're an architect, you have spent too many years, too much money on becoming an architect to feel like now you have to retrain yourself and suddenly be some sort of BIM expert and making BIM your center of focus. That is not why you went to university for, and that's not why you're an architect. You're an architect because you want to be an architect. You're an engineer because you want to be an engineer, okay? And now you might also have a business, or you might be running projects. And again, adding complications like BIM and ISO 19650 just for the sake of bringing these words into the equation of the project, it's not worth it. So what I'm saying here is that running businesses and running projects needs to have a focus that is based on what is your role, what is your responsibility, what type of project is this, what organization are you, how many people do you have, and what resources do you have to hand to deliver this project. Anything you do from that point needs to be a business decision, not a BIM decision, not an ISO 19650 decision, a BIM decision. Let's pause that for a second. We know for a fact that if you do things a certain way in today's construction world, you are working in 3D, you are utilizing technology, you are sharing information on cloud platforms, you are running clash detections, you are documenting how you are going to work collectively as a team to achieve certain outputs. You have input from investors and developers on what their business KPIs are and how we intend to achieve those KPIs for the people investing in the project. And we have information on how we're going to be running this building once it's been built to make sure that we are meeting the owner's KPIs and making sure the building is safe and sound and fit for purpose. We know how to do that. If we follow certain processes, using certain technologies, communicating in certain ways, we get really good benefits. Those outcomes that we're looking for in any business, if you have a takeaway, if you have a sausage stand, if you have an architectural practice, if you have a car dealership, you are looking for reducing cost, reducing waste, reducing environmental impact, hopefully, improving risk management for your business, and increasing your profit margins. Any business owner is looking for those kind of things. And we know for a fact, if we follow certain standards in construction that happen to be based on ISO 19650, if we do that, we know that we get those benefits. Okay, back to your business. Let's forget BIM, forget ISO 19650. You have your business, you have your resources, you have your roles and responsibilities, and now you have a new project. The question you need to ask yourself is, how do I deliver this project so I can reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce environmental impact, improve risk management for the business and the project, and increase my profit margins? And where are the problems inside my business that prevents me from achieving these outcomes. So as a business owner, how do we address the business and the projects to gain the benefits of digitalization without making it into this, where BIM and ISO 9615 is overshadowing the project and the discussion about the project, okay? So you're looking at what you have to hand and what you don't have to hand and where the difference between success and failure is within inside your organization. And if you are working in AutoCAD, let's say, and you have won a project and that project is requiring you to deliver the project in Revit as specified, okay? And it might be other things in that requirement saying BIM, ISO, whatever. It doesn't matter right now. The problem that you're facing now as a business owner, traditionally working in AutoCAD, and now you need to use Revit, is that you haven't used Revit before, now you need to buy software, you need to train people, you need to set up your standards, now you have a deadline that you need to deliver against, and now suddenly this seemed like too much to deal with and too expensive to deal with, so maybe you're not going to make any money on this project. So it's all of the problems that comes your way here now just because the project needs to deliver in the software that you're not prepared to deliver the project in, okay? And that's a real problem. And BIM level 2 is not going to fix that problem. What's going to fix that problem is to address what are the issues here now. And this is now about how do I embrace digitalization? How do I embrace this situation I'm in now so I can comply to the requirements and deliver this project without breaking the bank? Buying the software, it comes with a cost. There's no way around that. That's just the reality of things. The other things that you're going to have to deal with in this specific situation is the software fit for purpose? Do you have computers that are ready to be used for this type of project? And can the staff, can the team members on the project deliver the project using this new resource? This is a change management issue. So buying computers, buying the software comes with certain cost, and there's some shopping around to be done, and there are options to be done. So blindly trusting some salesperson from an IT company or from a software company, or even from a BIM consultancy company who have platinum partnered with Autodesk, trusting what they are saying blindly is not good advice. Shopping around and getting educated on what is required and learning who you can take information from and who you can't, that's something that's going to come with time. But blindly buying because someone is saying it's the best thing for you is not good advice, okay? The second thing is then, and I'm using this as an example, as a practical example that I see all the time, okay? The next thing is, once you have the computer and you have the software, now the software have to do something for you. What is it that this software have to do for you specifically? Does it have to be BIM compliant? No, it doesn't. Does it have to have ISO accreditation? No, it doesn't. Does it have to have clash detection? No, it doesn't. It's different software, you know? What does this software have to do for you now specifically? You need to produce drawings and you need to produce schedules. That's it. That's what the software needs to do for you initially. And by not addressing all the problems immediately, so you are fully ISO compliant immediately, which is going to cost a lot of money and take some time and cause change management issues in your organization because you're trying to do too many things in a too short time span, you're addressing the things that is critical for you right now. Drawing production, schedule output. What does that mean? We need to be able to name these drawings in a certain way, and we need to adopt the naming convention. We need to be able to draw the 3D model in a certain way so we can get drawings out. That requires some training of the staff so they understand how to use the 3D geometry to produce the model in 3D so we can get drawings out. You need to set up your CAD standards so your drawings look professional. And adopting your existing, let's say using AutoCAD, yeah, using your existing CAD standard from Autodesk and convert them into this Revit environment is going to achieve that. You need to make sure that you have your schedules that you use to publish in Excel looks the same inside Revit. And there's a couple of more things in terms of geo-coordination and this in general configuration of the software. It becomes too technical right now. But there are certain things that you need to achieve, drawing output and schedule output. That is what you need to invest in. And now this is business decision. Now this is not about BIM anymore. It's about making sure that this new thing that you have invested in gives you some return by not overinvesting and doing what is just about right for you to achieve your outcome of drawings and schedules so you can deliver this project. That approach in itself is adopting digitalization. That is a starting point that business owners need to take by addressing individual concerns for their organization and their type of projects and address those ones specifically. And at the same time asking, is this change worth it? Should I move from AutoCAD to Revit? In this example, yes, you do, because now you have a project. So you do need to make that change. Okay, how long does it take to make that change? How long does it take to set up drawings and schedules to achieve that outcome? And it shouldn't take that long. And how much is it going to cost to achieve that? Again, it shouldn't cost that much money because the workload involved in and making that transition is not that great. So it shouldn't take that long. It shouldn't cost that much money. But your outcome from this investment would be great because now you can work on the project and you can produce drawings and you can produce schedules. That mindset is the mindset of an organization and a business owner who is on the digitalization bandwagon, who is on the digital transformation journey. It's not about achieving full BIM level 2 compliance or getting accredited immediately or making sure that everything is ISO compliant. Just the fact that you are addressing individual concerns means that you are looking after your businesses and your projects' cash flow. You're looking after cost. You're looking after waste. Environmental impact may or may not come into the equation right here, but you're definitely looking after the risks. And that shows the intention of the business that is going to be involved as a collaborative partner in this project, that the mindset is right. This mindset is trying to reduce cost, reduce waste, and so on. That is the approach that individual business owners need to take. And it just happens that if we are transitioning into Revit and we're producing drawings that are meeting the CAD standards and we're producing the schedules, and the models can have to be geo-coordinated as well, we're following a specific naming convention. If we do these small changes, suddenly we're complying to the BS 1192 standards of geo-coordination, naming convention, suitability codes, things like that, sophisticated CAD standards, drawing output coming from the 3D model. And suddenly, before we know it, we're starting to tick off the boxes of ISO 19650. But it's not what's driving the thing. It's the project delivery and the needs and requirements for the business, where they are on the journey, on the timeline, that drives the decisions. And the outcome is reduced cost, reduced waste, and so on, and ISO compliancy as an after effect. I mentioned what the decisions the business owner needs to take depends on where they are on the journey, which milestone they are on. Okay, so this is my observation, my personal observation. This is something I've discovered over the years doing the same thing day in, day out, year after year for over 20 years, repeating myself to different organizations. And it doesn't matter if the organization is large or small or famous or not famous or rich or poor. Every organization seemed to go through the same journey and is having the same milestones, and they seem to have the same time span between each milestone as well. The first milestone is an organization who have not won a project that requires either ISO compliancy or using Revit, let's say. But they're thinking about making that move. They can see the benefits. Usually, this is the thought process. They're using AutoCAD 2D, Vectorworks, MicroStation 2D, something like that. They use some 2D platform. And they have started to play with the idea that working in 3D would bring some benefit to the business and the projects, okay? Which is the right thought process, because that is true. But they haven't won the project yet. So they're waiting either to make the move first and then win the project, or maybe they want to win the project first and then you make the move. A bit of advice here is that starting to make transitions before you win the project is usually cheaper and less stressful, but no one ever takes that advice. Usually what happens is that the organization wins the project and then they make the transition. That happens pretty much 99% of all the times. It's costing a little bit more money to do it that way, and it's a little bit more stressful. But that is the first milestone. You want to make the transition, but you haven't won the project, or you want to make the transition and you have won the project. In both cases, the organization is in the same position. They don't have what they need to deliver a project. So the first milestone is to make that active decision. We are doing something. Then they win the project. They're making some transitions. And there is usually a time span of 18 months to 2 years until they hit the second milestone. The second milestone is when the organization, let's say the organization was in AutoCAD or MicroStation 2D, they transitioned to Revit because they won a project or they wanted to transition to Revit for a business as an organization. 18 months to 2 years later, they usually come to realization saying, actually, this is working for us. We are now a Revit office. They might still have, let's say they have, you know, 15 projects. 5 projects might be in Revit and 10 projects might still be in, you know, in AutoCAD. But the business is now seeing themselves as we are now a Revit office. We are now, we made this journey. We made this decision. This is now working for us. This is the way forward. They're not going back. Up to that point, it could be make it or break it. It could be they're pausing it. And I've seen this before as well. They make the jump. They get some licenses. It doesn't quite pan out. And then there is a pause. And then 5 years later, they get onto it. But if they make the decision and they plow through, about 2 years later, 18 months, 2 years later, they usually realize this is the new normal now. It doesn't mean that everything is working. It doesn't mean that Revit is in full swing and they're getting all the benefits. It doesn't mean that. It usually doesn't mean that at all. Usually what happens after 18 months or 2 years is that they feel like there is a benefit in 3D, but the software has not been configured. They have problems with geo-coordination. They may or may not use the correct naming conventions. The drawings may not look exactly they want it to look. They might even be using Revit up to a certain point, but they're printing on the drawings from AutoCAD still. So there might be some sort of parallel workflow going on as well. They may or may not get the schedules out from the project. And I'm mentioning these specific things, configuration, naming convention, geo-coordination, drawing output and schedules specifically, because those are the things that needs to be resolved first before anything else, because those are the things that lets the architect or engineer produce drawings, which is the purpose of their role on the project. Okay. So in that first milestone journey from starting up to the first milestone, those are the things that needs to be addressed. Configuration, naming convention, geo-coordination, drawing output, quality, CAD standards, basically, and schedule output. Those are the things that need to be addressed first. And usually at the first milestone, those things don't quite work. So this is where, you know, from our organization, this is where we are catching a lot of our clients in that thing. They now are Revit office, but it's not quite working. What do we do about this? And this is also important because this is now the opportunity for the average BIM consultant to come in and making a huge amount of money. And what I'm saying is that we need to be careful with how we're spending things. We should address this from a business risk management point of view. If naming convention isn't quite working, or if the configuration of the software isn't quite working right now, what does that mean to the business? It will mean that there is a risk that individual staff members start to create their own libraries and resources on their computer, meaning that the quality of the drawing output between different projects is likely to change over time. And that's a risk to the business, yeah? So the question is for the business owner, should we address that configuration issue for the software? Yes or no? Okay, the question is, how long does it take? Who is going to do it? And how much does it cost? And it's not very difficult to do. It doesn't take long, and it shouldn't cost that much money. In fact, it shouldn't cost more than £500 to do that. Okay, so it's a very easy investment to do to prevent possible major risks to the business in the future. And then because you're not making dramatic changes, risk to change management is reduced because you're only changing one small thing. So you address that one thing and you've done that. The next thing is your naming convention, your geo-coordination, your drawing output quality and your schedules. You're addressing one thing at a time or a couple of things at a time. And you're saying, okay, how much money do we have to invest for this right now? And then it's worth it. So then they go ahead and they do that. That transition from the, you know, the second milestone, the starting milestone, the milestone where they're realizing they're now Revit office, the transition to the next milestone, which is the milestone where now everything is working. They have a lot of projects. Usually the ratio is 2 projects to 1 staff member. And they have so much technical administration to deal with on the projects. So they're starting to feel like, actually, we can't cope with this. We need someone. This is usually when an organization started to look for a BIM manager and saying, we need a BIM manager to come in and take ownership of this thing that's going on right now. Yeah, that is the third milestone. Do they need someone to come in and take over technical administration in the business? I'm in two opinions about this. One is that it's true. The milestone is what the milestone is. The company is growing, more projects are in Revit. There are technical things that need to be dealt with. And hopefully in this transition from the second to the third milestone, we have addressed the things about the CAD standards, drawing output quality, schedule output, configuration, geo-coordination. Still, at that milestone, still maybe things are not 100% working correctly, but the business as a whole is kind of, yeah, this is happening right now, yeah. So one thing about BIM managers is that, and I've been a BIM manager myself, okay? But one thing about BIM managers is that it's one person, contractually speaking, 40 hours per week, two hands, one brain. You're going to have holidays. You're going to be off sick. There's going to be unforeseen circumstances. You need to buy computers. You need to buy licenses. There's going to be other educational things. There's going to be a whole lot of cost associated to this BIM manager person. And the second concern here is that the BIM manager person is that person coming into the business to be a strategic person, or is it coming into the business to be a project delivery person? Project delivery is what brings the money into the business. So it's very difficult for a business owner to justify having an expensive person as a BIM manager to carry out strategic tasks all the time when they need more hands on the project, because every project is always short-staffed. So there's a tendency that once the BIM manager is on board, they're working maybe 60 to 80% on project delivery and maybe 20% on strategic. And it's a strategic that made the business wanted to have a BIM manager in the first place, to take ownership of the technical administrative things that comes with the project, training staff, technical issues on the projects, configurations, project setup, geo-coordination, sitting in meetings. That's kind of traditional BIM manager roles. But now they're sitting doing modeling work on the projects because that's what brings the money into the business. Meaning that that person then, one person, one brain, two hands, 40 hours per week, now is reduced to 20% of resolving the issues that they were hired for in the first place. And what the business is ending up with is a very expensive CAD technician or Revit technician or BIM technician. So I think organizations need to think very carefully before they employ a BIM manager, and making sure that, first of all, they have the funding to make sure that the BIM manager can do what they're actually supposed to be doing. And then also be in a position where the organization, where the business owner, is telling the BIM manager what they want them to do, not asking the BIM manager what they should be doing. Because the BIM manager is going to be, it sounds terrible, but the BIM manager is going to be self-serving. They need to justify their own position because there is a high income position and they need to make sure that they keep that position. So whatever they do in these positions is going to be mostly and firstly self-serving to keep their job. If they make themselves redundant, they lose their job, okay? That is issues to consider if you can find the BIM manager in the first place. And I'm telling you right now that the person, if you are at milestone three and you need a BIM manager because you have too much techie admin to deal with, and you have the budget to get the person to actually do that job properly, that person that you need is not available. That person is already in a job. The people available are the people who don't have the experience but want to jump ship and get a job like that so they can gain that experience and get a pay rise at the same time. But that's going to be a double issue for you, because you're not going to get the person you need to carry out the job. You're still going to pay the same amount of money, and then you're going to be working on projects in the first place. So personal opinion is that hiring a BIM manager, or thinking that a BIM manager is going to solve the problem, is the wrong move. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a BIM manager, but the business needs to be ready to have a BIM manager in its true form, not just as a plaster on, you know, an open wound. So making a decision like that based on the situation I kind of painted up here now is, you know, it's going to put the business at risk. It's going to be more expensive, and it might not reduce the risks in the business where the intention were to begin with. Okay. Instead, what should happen at that milestone is that you realize you have too much technical administration to deal with, you should form a group, an in-house digitalization group, digital construction group. And that group could be chaired by a BIM manager, but it's important here now as well to anything, any knowledge, any developments that is happening inside the organization that is milestone is distributed across the business. Because if you hire a BIM manager and that BIM manager owns all the information and that BIM manager leaves, then you're back to zero again. You have nothing to fall back on. So it's a very risky position to be in to put all the knowledge and responsibility onto one person. Instead, you want to have a group that collectively understands all the information and a group that takes instructions from the directors. Directors is telling this group where the business needs to get to. This group then evaluates what can be done in terms of digitalization, process standards, all that stuff to get the business where the business needs to get to, not by an individual BIM manager who is doing most of the decision based on keeping their job. That's the third milestone. And getting from the second milestone to the third milestone could take something like 3 to 5 years. The last milestone is the milestone where the business is truly up in full swing with the digital workflows and collaborations and delivered a couple of projects. And now they feel like actually things are working really well. We have maybe a BIM manager, we have a group, we're delivering projects, we have Revit is under full control. But now they want to make sure that now they can provide evidence to other stakeholders and investors and developers that they reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce environmental impact, improve risk management in the business and the project, and increase profit margins when they are involved in the projects. And this is where they go down to get an accreditation. So the last milestone is when the business is saying, actually, let's get a stamp to prove that we know what we're doing and it's valuable to have us on the projects. So by going through these milestones, you are addressing the key concerns for any business: reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce environmental impact, improve risk management for the business and the project, and increase profit margins. Okay, that's what we're aiming for in each of these milestones. But the way we're going about things is that we are addressing things that are specific to us at specific milestones in our journey, in our digitalization journey. We can't go from milestone one to milestone four immediately. We can certainly apply to get an accreditation before we have even, we can fill it in the application form and we can get evaluated, but we're definitely going to fail. Or it's going to be the amount of additional requirements required to pass the accreditation is going to be the same as we didn't do it in the first place. So we might as well not try, okay? We can have the ambition to be accredited, but we can't do it immediately. We have to go through the milestones. And the milestones is founded on, or the foundation for the milestones is the business operating properly? Do we reduce cost, reduce waste, and so on? And we're dealing with the problems that are specific for each milestone. First milestone, get a project. You know, we're getting a project, we get more fee for this new type of project. We are increasing some risks and some costs initially because we have to buy the software and the computers. But because we are improving, we're reducing the risks of project delivery, we're regaining that cost and time later on in the project because we made the investment. It's a good investment because it's going to have long-term effect. Hiring someone to come in and write up all your BIM ISO 19650 documents for you in one go, that's going to cost you a few thousands of pounds. It's not going to have any benefit to you. So that would be a bad investment. And as you're making these decisions on the second milestone, then where you're addressing, you know, can we produce drawings? Then we are reducing cost and we're reducing waste and we're reducing risks and hopefully increasing the profit margins there because our workflow will be improved by making these targeted decisions about the business, which is the foundation. Thinking this way is ISO 19650. This is how we achieve ISO 19650. The milestone about when they have too much technical administration to deal with and they need to form a group or they need to employ a BIM manager. This is, again, if the decision is made incorrectly, it could increase cost, increase risk. Everything could be increased. It could be a bad decision. But the overall idea of this milestone and you need to do something about it, because not doing something about it is going to have a negative impact. You have too much technical admin to deal with, so you need to deal with it. And if you find the right BIM manager person in the business can afford it, then it will reduce risk, absolute reduce risk. it's going to be a little bit of a cost increase in the beginning, but it's going to reduce time of how things are being done. And the projects are delivered more efficiently. The project teams are supported better. So the profit margins should go up. And the same thing for the group. It's going to be less costly to have a group, but the transition period might take a little bit longer. So you might waste a little bit of time in the beginning, but you're going to save money. The risk is going to go down, and hopefully then you can see an increase in the profit margins. The accreditation, it's all about risk management. Getting an accreditation means that the accreditor have assessed the whole business as a whole on risk management. So that is purely about reducing risk in the organization and how the organization delivers projects. That's a massive benefit. And if you pass that accreditation, you prove that you are reducing cost, reducing waste, reducing environmental impact, and increasing profit margins because you passed the accreditation itself. So just passing the accreditation is a kind of a brand saying you achieve these outcomes. Okay, so lots of information in this episode about why we need to reset and move away from the old school BIM level 2 way of thinking, and even bringing in the vocabulary of BIM, ISO 19650, BIM level 2 digitalization into the project environment and discussion could have a negative impact on the project. Instead, we need to be aware of where we are as an organization, and we can use my milestones as a sort of guideline, but we need to be aware of where we are on the journey. We need to be aware of what expectations are from ourselves and our businesses and what we're trying to achieve in what time frame. And that's why I think the milestones is important, because it kind of gives you a frame of time for what you can and can't expect. So once we have identified where we are and what we're trying to achieve, and we're learning as an organization and business owners to address individual issues inside the organization that's going to have benefit to the business immediately or in the short term, that also drives us on the digitalization journey. That's the type of mind frame we need to be in. And it's what's going to make the difference between, you know, wasting money on implementations that's not required and actually taking us where we're trying to get to as a business and personal ambitions with our organization and our professions. The next episode, we're going to look at more on the practical aspect of things we need to do in our organization on a day-to-day basis on the projects to actually achieve these BIM outcomes, reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce environmental impact, improve risk management, and increase profit margins.